Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Mullahan Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. That is Ted Phillips talking about being part of the committee to find the new head coach. And
the plan's a plan. Still happy, a good plan. And we're committed to the plan that Ryan Pace laid out 3 years ago.
So let's bring in Rich Campbell from the Chicago Tribune. He joins us now. And Rich, I guess the question is simple. Will the collaborators be able to fill this position correctly?
Boy, I wish I had the answer.
Well, good talking to you, Rich.
Yeah. And, you know, they could. They could. They may make the perfect hire.
Listen, they could. I think the one thing that we all have acknowledged for the last few weeks is that part of that is going to be out of their control. And you have to weigh the other openings here. And that's why Brad Biggs' piece, you know, a couple days ago in the Tribune, polling 20 league executives, coaches about the attractiveness of the position was so interesting that Brad cast the net pretty wide and the job came back fifth out of six. So you understand that if Josh McDaniels, for example, is the quarterback guru that everybody covets, that the Bears are going to have real competition there. And that's why every step of this is so interesting. Like, for example, Vic interviewing yesterday. I don't expect Vic to be the head coach, but if he does end up the head coach, we'll have an understanding of how they got there, right? Maybe they didn't get their offensive guy. Maybe this is a good secondary plan. And we'll just have to see how this goes through next season, because no matter who they hire, we got to resist the urge to make these snap judgments. We're only going to be able to tell how they do by wins on the field.
Yeah, and for those who didn't see Brad's story, shame on you first, but he asked those 20 NFL insiders to go ahead and write down the openings 1 through 6, and he assigned a point value to each one. So, and then he asked them why they selected the way they did. So you got a little subjectivity, but you also had, you know, an actual point-based you know, referendum on the thing, and you would have hoped it would have been a little higher than fifth.
Well, and the other takeaway from that is the varied opinions of each job.
Yeah.
Some people like some jobs, other people don't like some jobs. There's variables that different people perceive differently, and that's the Bears' challenge here. Navigate through all of that to find the right fit. And that's why you might understand that a guy like John DeFilippo, the Eagles quarterbacks coach, or Matt Nagy, the offensive coordinator with the Chiefs, maybe they jump at an opportunity to become an NFL head coach. Maybe they like what they saw out of Trubisky through 12 starts. And they're going to have to sift through all of that and really try to find not only that type of fit, but I think a big part of this, too, is a personality fit. Pace and the coach and Mitch. And I think a lot of the homework that went into this before we got to Black Monday, that's what it's centered on. Talking to references and trying to get a feel for personalities of guys.
And I don't doubt that, Rich. That was the weirdest news conference I've seen in a long time, and I've sat through tons of them over the years, and watching that one on television, it was just kind of bizarre, because I think, you know, we did hear the, you know, how passionate the fan base is and all the support, and will it be there? But there really were no answers. There really was no way to explain, justify. You know, we just played that cut coming in. There's very little that you can do to sort of explain what happened, and there was a lot of non-response, even to the idea of interviewing Vic Fangio. Well, you know, we're gonna, we can't say for competitive reasons. The whole thing was weird.
I'm with you, and I stopped long ago trying to get inside the head of the Bears' public relations. It doesn't always go the way that you seem would be logical. But a couple things from the presser. The first is that I went into that not really expecting any answers. I didn't think there was anything they could say that would make you feel good about 14-34 over the last three seasons. It just was all going to be words. Their results play out on the field, and those they cannot change right now. But I'm with you. Some of the tone was off. There was this, in my opinion, miscalculated deference to John Fox, where that question about Vic, for example, and whether he would interview, and this ended up, the answers were turned as, you know, John gets credit for the defense too, and all this. I mean, that's not how they felt. So let's be real about this. They changed coaches because they want a hardworking, detail-oriented strategist who gives them an advantage on game day. I don't think it would have been a bad thing for them to come out and say this. Now, my colleague Dan Weider at the Tribune has a theory that they wanted to make sure Fox went out as comfortably as possible because that guy has an extensive network throughout the league, and they couldn't afford him poisoning the waters. It's why they were really buttoned up about the whole thing toward the end of the season. They didn't want any type of dysfunction or perception of such to be out there. So I get that. But, yeah, it was sort of an odd tone. And then you get into the post-podium parts of this where George is talking about selling coaches on the fact the Bears are a legacy franchise and their centennial is coming up.
Oh, boy.
Who cares?
See,
who
that,
cares about that, this? No one cares.
Rich, that so reminds me of covering the Blackhawks when they the group think inside the United Center was this was a destination franchise because of the same thing, Original Six and blah, blah, blah. You know, no, that's not how they were perceived, and the 3,000 fans in the building should have been, you know, been your first clue, let alone free agents coming here and they, you know, getting the ghost of Doug Gilmore. So that stuff's got to be let go. I mean, you just have to move forward, and that's part of your history, but it can't be the exclusive selling point of the Bears franchise.
There's a warped sense of nostalgia there that is not shared outside the building, and to go back to Brad's piece, I thought it was really interesting how the Giants were held up as this crown jewel of the NFL. Well, guess what the Giants have done two times in the last 10 years?
Exactly.
Right? You know? So even though they've fallen on hard times and they have an older quarterback and some questions, probably more questions about the future at quarterback than the Bears do, that's the organization that's held up because, you know, their owner is out in front of league issues and they've won. They've consistently won over the years. And so we'll see how persuasive Ryan can be. And even though he didn't say much in the press conference about the next coach and what they're looking for, he certainly has a detailed profile in his mind, and he'll be a different type of guy in these interviews. I mean, he'll be the normal, good communicator, friendly person, you know, intense person that he is when he's not behind the microphone like that.
You know, this is a difficult question, but I just wonder where the bar is with this team and, you know, how would you perceive success next year? Is winning seven games success for a new head coach? Is not having 10 losses considered success for this coach? It seems, you know, we talk about the Rams in relation to the Bears, but a Ram-type reversal might be the desired effect. But what would be the actual, bar for success?
I think this is really important that we pin this down now because the new head coach has to understand that he's not coming in with a clean slate. You know, Ryan's 14-34 record, that's on his shoulders. He said it himself, and we didn't need him to say it. Ryan carries that baggage into what the new coach begins. So that's the starting point. That's where fans' levels of impatience already is.
But there will be, won't there be a honeymoon period like the first year?
No.
You bring in a new head coach and, you know, people will be watching the quarterback and people will be, and if you win seven games, that buys you the second year and you can say we're doing well moving forward. And then after the second year is when all hell breaks loose.
But no one's articulated anything. Sustainable success, and you know, I love the question.
Well,
How about actual success?
That was the beauty of their news conference. Yeah, they didn't articulate
anything.
No one
said we have to be a playoff team in 2 years.
And no one said that the plan was actually working, but that there was a plan.
My personal standard for this is that they have to be playing meaningful games through the end of September. They cannot be eliminated from the playoffs, you know, around Thanksgiving or even the second week of September. They've got to go into week 17 with a chance. Keep that type of excitement. That would be a real change from the last 4 years, right? That would be, even if they were to make the playoffs or not, that would at least be a change. Meaningful football, meaningful games, the interest, the step forward just in terms of the intensity you can play with at the end of the season. But you guys make a good point. They have been very careful not to set hard expectations, you know, explicit expectations for themselves that they can later be held to.
We'll let you go, Rich, but you know, we know that Vic Fangio interviewed for the head coaching job. I would imagine that would be a way of keeping him. I would also imagine that if I'm Mike McCarthy, that's the first phone call I made. You're set up for a 3-4 system. Boy, they'd look awful good with Vic Fangio up there and you know, the quarterback back and another draft class for them and somebody making the picks. I just think that the problem with the Bears is we have to see them in the context of the division. You've got a Minnesota team that looks awful good but has not solved the quarterback issue. You got a quarterback in Green Bay that hides a lot of their problems. And you got a job in Detroit that might be more attractive than the Bears' job because of the quarterback and the fact that you could probably win quicker there. How do you view the Bears in relation to the division?
I've said this for a while now. They're in last place until they're not anymore.
Yeah.
That's it. They're in last place until they prove otherwise. Now, I will say this. We can all look at what the Bears are going to do here on their trip to Minnesota tonight and tomorrow, interviewing both coordinators of the division champions as a pretty smart way to go up and pick their brain. And whether these guys are under serious consideration to be hired or not, they're at least going to go inside the Vikings organization and get a sense of what their own roster is on both sides of the ball from the division champs. That's an interesting part of the dynamic here, what they're going to do. I'm with you about Fangio to Green Bay. Boy, that is such an interesting element to his future here over the next couple weeks, that it's very easy to see him going north and coordinating a defense that's already sort of set up and a defense that he doesn't need to make great. He doesn't need to take a group of, you know, non-Pro Bowlers like he has with the Bears and get them to be 10th. You can be middle of the road and a 12-14 because of the quarterback, like you mentioned. So, yeah, Cook, they're in last place until further notice. Stay tuned on that one. Check in with me in about October.
All righty, Rich. Thanks, buddy. Great catching up.
Happy New Year, guys.
Take care, Rich.
That's our guy, Rich Campbell, working the beat for the Chicago Tribune. 312-644-6767. Where do you see the Bears in relation to the division? Where do you see them in terms of busting out of this thing? Are they close? Do you believe the plan? Do you believe the build through the draft plan, if that's what it is that we're looking at? What gives you reason for optimism moving forward? Is there a happy to this that we're not talking enough about? 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Hanley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. That is Ted Phillips. And we talk a lot about continuity, and Ted overseeing this process is what passes for continuity. But he hears you. He understands.
No, Ryan said he heard us last. Was it last year he heard us?
The last time it was him.
Yeah, and now it's
last
Ted.
Year he heard it. Yeah. This year Ted's heard it.
Yeah,
so everyone. At least they're listening. Listen, you know, maybe they'll get it right. Maybe it'll all work out. So I asked for a positive, and someone said if you erase half our penalties and half the drop passes, I bet we'd have been a wild card team.
Another texter, 6711, said they are five good or very good players away from being a playoff team. So go get those five players via the draft or free agent, very good players, and the head coach, and you're off to the races.
If you scored 10 more touchdowns and won
hey,
six more games,
you want happy.
You'd have had a successful
season.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
And the other one compares Ryan Pace to Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, that was a bit much. I don't know where that was.
What you get on the text line sometimes, you go, yeah. Okay.
I'm glad you didn't read that one.
No, I did read it.
Oh.
I didn't read it on the air. Okay. I read it a couple times, 2-3 times.
Did it make
Is his
sense?
Nuclear button bigger than
well,
the other guy's
Well, see, immediately
button?
That's what I thought. Size
don't
your button.
Don't be pushing my buttons.
Easy, no. In his works.
Oh, boy. I worry about that stuff. Does anyone want to go cover the Olympics this year? Is anyone interested?
I don't like the Olympics.
You don't like the Olympics. Brian, cross his name out, Dustin. He's not going to the Winter Olympics.
South Korea, North Korea.
Is Bobby V going? I got to give him a call.
Oh, Bobby V will be there.
If Bobby V is there, I'm worried about the world.
Someone's got to bring Bob Costas' pink eye medicine.
Someone's got to bring Bobby home to us.
We love Bobby V.
As I'm saying, let's be careful with our Bob. Let's try Dave. Dave is in Crystal Lake. Good morning, Dave. You're on with Molly and Hanley.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Morning, David.
I'm a season ticket holder. I want them to do good, but I think they're a complete dumpster fire. I think the problem was Pace and not Fox. I think the roster is horrible. Like, I love Floyd, but he was there because he's undersized, and he'll never play a full season. He'll always be injured because he's too small.
That's not happy.
I think a part that's being left out, which makes him six, the worst job, is the facilities. Go anywhere. Everybody's got domes, new places, better practice facilities. The Bears practice in somebody's backyard.
Well, they're working on that.
Aren't they? They're expanding the practice facility to the point where the
state of the art, I believe, was the terminology.
Yes, it's like going to be 2/3 of what it is, right? Aren't they really expanding the practice facility?
Yeah,
they say that there's going to be a lot more built-in hiding places for the general manager during the season. So
you won't see him.
That game of hide-and-go-seek the guy plays.
An escape room?
Only Jeff Joniak.
Dave, are you re-upping? Are you keeping the season tickets?
Of course.
They feel your frustration, but...
Yeah, I mean, I've had them for 20 years.
Oh, boy.
I'm definitely on the fence. I'll probably do it just because I would hate to not have them if they ever do come back.
See, that's what they count on.
I don't have a lot of faith that they're going to.
Yeah, but Dave, thank you, Dave, for the phone call. Dave is pot committed, as we say in the wide world of poker.
He's a legacy season ticket holder.
He's got a lot of dough in there, and he's chasing his money.
On the if come that they do find Sean McVay and Mitch Trubisky is Jared Goff, and they're off to the playoffs next year, you want to be part of that.
Nick is in Lamont. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Good.
Hey, listen, here's Mike that I was talking to Dustin before. Hmm. What actually is Ted Phillips' role? Is he not just he's just a number cruncher. Work on contracts. What talent or what knowledge do you have in regards to football knowledge? Did you ever play the game?
Well, he is a trained accountant, right? And he did come into the team as the controller, and he has been in charge.
1984, was he joined the organization? 1984?
Okay, so he's been around the Bears forever, and he has moved into his current role. It was after the failed Dave McGinnis hiring, so it's before the Geron era. So just off the top of my head, 6 and 9, it's a long time.
His son is a coach on the Saints staff, right?
That's the problem, though. Stick to what you can do best. Numbers. Worry about contracts. Player personnel go to people that actually play the game, are involved with the game, been on the field. Ryan Pace should be free of McCaskey and Phillips to make decisions on his own. Common folk like us, or even other individual sports fans, know you are not running it correctly. Give it back to the people that should know how to run it and let the fans enjoy it. People are tired. Bears fans are tired of the abomination that had been out there for years, the promises and everything else. You know what? Ryan's got an extension. This is his deal. Him and Trubisky and whatever coach he hires. After that, who knows what happens after that? But it's just the idea. Keep Ted Phillips.
See, that's what they don't get.
Thanks,
they
Nick.
Don't get the perception or the belief from most Bears fans that they don't want Ted. They don't want his fingerprints anywhere near this thing. And George as well. They don't want the McCaskies. They understand McCaskies aren't going anywhere. They want them out of the way. They don't want them as a sounding board, as a devil's advocate in the process. If you fully believe in the GM, as you said at the podium, let the GM, like Greg Gabriel said, let him go out and do these interviews. You don't need to hold his hand. You don't need to show up. You don't need to be in that room for 5 hours with each of these interviewees.
312-644-6767. Is that how long the interviews will go? I mean, isn't it kind of...
Greg said it'd be... It's
an, oh, With Michael and Ted and Ryan in the room, it's going to be 5 or 6 hours.
Doesn't seem longer.
Aren't they going to have a meal during that time, or aren't they going to? I mean, what did they do with Mitchell Trubisky? They went out to that steakhouse, and John Fox talked a lot. Who's the?
He ordered a lot of red wine.
Who's the garrulous one in that bunch? Who's going to be the guy dominating the conversation and not letting the coach talk? I think that it's not a bad idea to have different viewpoints of what a interview should be. I just don't know. I'm just trying to picture
if Theo and Jed go to
you and let's say God forbid that you decide to replace me and you go have Mitch and Jimmy DeCastro join you in interviewing other candidates. What am I doing?
Well, see, if Theo and Jed go interview Joe Madden outside his RV, I'm all for it. Right? If you're two baseball brain trust. Two-man brain trust are down there with the folding chairs and having a beer with Joe Madden. I have no problem if they're talking baseball.
Right.
I don't need Ted and George talking football when Ryan's trying to figure out the next head coach of the Chicago Bears. I mean, I don't think that adds anything to the conversation.
Is Ryan really making the hire if this is the way they're doing it?
Well, and that's the perception.
Well, see, this is
who are you talking to?
Not only who are you talking to, but, okay, this is who I like. This is who I like. But Ryan, it's your call. But just so you know, come on. Well, you want to make your bosses happy. Okay, it's my final say, but Ted and George like the same guy, and it's a different guy than I like.
And we don't know what the relationship is among the three amigos. We don't know if they're, if when they're driving around and whatever, I'd like to think of them as flying, commercial up to Minnesota and then renting a smaller car to save a few dollars.
It's like a buddy movie, right?
They're in
Hangover 5.
A little car together talking over what they're going to ask and who's going to swing what.
Ryan's in the sidecar.
Maybe they get out of the car. The guy is standing in front of a restaurant. They get out. One guy runs around the car and he gets hit by it because they didn't.
George is fumbling.
Falls down.
George said, "I made some cassette tapes." George said, "I made some cassette tapes. Here's some music for the road trip."
The giant shoes go up in the air and the pants fall down. I mean, it just seems like a clown show to me.
Yes,
but that's being unfair.
Is it? What have they walked away with recently?
Hey, Ryan, you have to drive because we didn't pay to put the extra driver on the rental agreement.
Woo! Then somebody throws the bucket of confetti on the poor guy. What did you think of the 1940s Bears?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. Let's get out to Big Cat Williams, the former Bear, the Bears postgame host, joins us now. And Cat, we're joking around about it and having some fun with it, but it's just, it's kind of scary to think about how important this job is and whether we feel that they are ready to make the right decision. It's just, I just wonder if, as a guy that's been through the organization and seeing a lot of moves and lived it, how much confidence do you have in the fact that they're going to get this right?
Well, I think we're at the point I think we're at the point now where we're just keeping our fingers crossed and our hands together and praying right now. You've seen the FUBARs that have been, executed by the organization the last few years, the last couple times they've, attempted to hire head coaches and it hasn't gone well. So you just hope that, this process, that Pace is free and able to, make this decision with the best interest for the Bears moving forward. In a football sense, the Bears have to catch up. Organizationally, they have to catch up, and scheme-wise, they're going to have to catch up. You've got to get a head coach in here that can feel the vibe of this team and run with it, no matter what it is, whether, you know, whether it's what we think as fans is proper. It doesn't matter. You know, they have to feel that vibe, and they have to be able to win with the team that's on the field. Now, whoever they bring in as a head coach is going to be behind the eight ball a little bit, because you're coming into a situation that is on what year? Year seven of a rebuild, basically. You know, it's not a overly inviting situation. But there are perks that come with it. So, you know, someone's going to take advantage of that, hopefully be able to turn this program around.
And that said, James, when you listen to, like, Akeem Hicks coming into the segment here talking about John Fox and what he will miss from John Fox, the players in that locker room did respect the professional atmosphere, I guess, that was part of the John Fox era. You know, the wins and losses left a lot of people wanting a hell of a lot more, but at least there it was a professionally run operation, even though it didn't show up in the win column necessarily. So there is a foundation. You have a top 10 defense, whether Vic Fangio is here or not. You have some young players you can hang your hat on, but it ultimately comes down to the quarterback. That was made clear yet again on Monday, and it's on the GM. And I guess the question is, should you have full faith like the Bears do in Ryan Pace after 3 years to double down on that plan? They didn't tell you what the plan is. It was just loosely, it's to build on with the draft mostly, but you know the results have been mixed, certainly for Ryan Pace, and yet they're doubling down on him.
Yeah, I think the results have been mixed on Ryan Pace, but you know when you're dealing with having to rebuild an organization, having to get talent on the field where you had no talent, it's a long process. You know, some guys are going to come in as rookies and they're going to blow the doors off. But then in their second season, they're going to hit, you know, that sophomore slump and they might not look as good. Now, their third season, are they able to put it all together and, you know, be the player plus some that they were that rookie year? You know, that's still to be seen. But you have some, like you said, you have some good pieces on defense. You finally, hopefully, have yourself your franchise quarterback. Now you need people to teach. You need teachers in the building. You need a good, solid head coach with a good foundation that can bring in the coordinators and the position coaches to help teach these young guys how to play the NFL game. You know, I agree with Akeem as far as, you know, you want a coach in there that, you know, you can relate to. You want a coach in there that is going to treat you like grown men. You know, you want a coach that is going to give you the ability to grow, not stifle you. And these are the things that, you know, they have to be looking for in a head coach. Now, as far as your coordinators, you hear everybody talk about, yeah, if you get a good coordinator in here, you know, he could be gone in a year or two. That's just the way the NFL goes. So it's kind of made me sway a little bit to wanting a little more of a offensive-minded head coach that can put a scheme into place, give Trubisky the opportunity to play in the same scheme for a couple years and grow. Let's see what his actual ceiling is going to be. But if we're in the situation where we're changing offensive coordinators every year, you know, and he is having to change his what he goes through in training camp, what he goes through in the beginning of the season as far as scheme-wise for offense, that I don't know if we'll ever see his true ceiling. You know, we talk so much about whether we wanted to see him this year or whether we just wanted him to sit. You know, it played out that he had to play. But we knew that with him playing, some things were going to be damaged. He was playing behind an offensive line that turned out towards the end of the season to be in shambles because of injury. He didn't have any wide receivers to throw to. Did they use Howard and Cohen the way they were supposed to, as far as Howard running the ball, the types of plays he was good at running, Cohen just using him as a distraction sometimes, and, you know, figuring out how to get him the ball in places where he could succeed. And I think those are things that you've got to look for as far as the next coordinator or head coach coming into this organization.
Kat, we talked a lot about, you know, Vic Fangio and the fact that they clearly want him, but probably as the defensive coordinator, does he want them and will he want the new guy? And, it, you know, we talked about the idea that maybe he goes to Green Bay. I'm just curious, as you look at the talent on the Bears defense, are they set up as a 3-4? Is it easy for them to transition to a different type of defense if that indeed is what they choose to do? How difficult is that, you know, kind of reworking? You know, the Bears were the last team in the league to become a 3-4, the last team to ever run a 3-4. Does that mean now they're a 3-4 defense? Is that what they're set up for? Can they reverse that without much difficulty?
Well, I think for the last, you know, 3 years, they have set themselves up to be that 3-4 defense for Fangio. They have, you know, attempted to go out and get the personnel that he needed, whether it be through the draft, Floyd and guys, you know, yeah. Goldman, mm-hmm. you know, guys like that were specific to certain positions. You know, you look at what they did in free agency, attempting to get guys like McPhee in here to rush the passer, play that outside linebacker position, Freeman, Trevathan. You know, they've set themselves up for this 3-4 defense. But now it's all about who is the head coach going to bring in to run his defense? Is he going to be a 3-4 guy? Is he going to be the same type of 3-4 guy that Fangio was, as far as being able to exploit offenses, you know, exotic blitzes, you know, the things that he was able to do with the personnel that he had? Because, you know, they were setting that up for Fangio. So the next guy that comes in as defensive coordinator, even if he is a 3-4 guy, you know, his philosophies might not all be the same. So, you know, that's another learning point for these guys, whether it be Hicks, whether it be Goldman, whether it be Trevathan, whether it be Amos. You know, all these guys are going to have to learn what he wants out of them. You know, we're seeing this defense now in its third year. It's not going to look the same next year. Will it look better? Will it look worse? You know, we don't know. We won't know until we see what type of scheme they want to run and how they want these players to play.
Great stuff, Kat. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
Should be fun. That's our guy, Big Kat Williams. I just go back to, where is your level of confidence and what's happening here? 312-644-6767. They could get it right. It could all work out. It could be a happy ending. It may be fade to black on a happy, fun, Oscar-winning performance.
Is there even an obvious choice on this list? Is Josh McDaniels the obvious choice? I mean, when you look at this, is there any slam dunk higher?
312-644-6767. Molly and Haley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Haley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. We got people who want to check in. Let's get to the phone lines. We'll start with Joe. Joe's on the road. Hey, Joe, where are you going with that gun in your hand? I love that song. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Morning,
today?
Joe.
Great show. Great show. Great show. Hey, I do have one question that, you know, we're beating ourselves to death with all these brand new figures on who we're going to put in there. But years ago, didn't we kind of run into the same problem and somebody finally figured out what Bear football is about? And what did Papa Bear do? He went and he grabbed himself a former Bear, and we turned things around. How come we're not doing that type of stuff? How come we're not grabbing?
Who do you want?
Yeah.
Who do you want?
Who's your former Bear?
Ron Rivera?
I don't know. There's got to be some. We have all of our guys that are out there doing all of our networks and everything, and they're smart. They know what they're doing. It just doesn't seem like nobody wants to reach out to these guys.
It's interesting, Joe. That is, I've always felt that the former Bears were a resource that wasn't tapped enough, but I don't know that this organization wants to do that. Dale is in Glenview. Good morning, Dale.
Good morning, Molly and Hanley. I was listening to you worrying about the interference of Ted and George, and it occurred to me there may be a completely innocuous explanation for it.
Okay.
I could see the interview starting out with them giving a little spiel about how this is Ryan's show, and they have no, he calls all the shots because George has expressed some frustration that even though he keeps saying that, the questions keeps coming up. So maybe there's some concern that the word is out there, that that's something to be concerned about, so they're there to put it to bed. Another reason for Ted being there, I could see him giving a short spiel at the beginning about all the flexibility he's able to give Ryan in terms of spending money.
So just to say, you know, here's our full support, and we're whatever resources you need as a head coach, we're here to give it to you.
Right.
All right. I like your positive spin.
Do you need to have a guy show up to say that?
Well, ideally, no.
I am subservient to Ryan. Watch, I will go get him coffee. Here, let me just show you. I'm going to give him, don't get creeped out, but just a nice little shoulder massage while he talks to you. What the hell?
See, now,
why do you need any of that?
You took it to, in a different direction there.
Silly.
The shoulder massage probably.
Dan is in Mundelein. Good morning, Dan.
Be a distraction.
Good morning, guys. Keep your hands off Ryan. Yeah. Anyway, I
Matt Lauer's here to do that.
Hey, the door closes on its own.
Don't touch that button.
I got a button on my desk.
It's bigger than yours. What? Easy.
I got a happy thought for you.
Uh-huh.
I'm really actually impressed with the Bears draft from last season.
Yeah.
You look at Trubisky, you look at Cohen, you look at Baby Gronk, you know, Sheehan.
Baby Gronk.
I think really? Eddie Jackson. Yeah, I think
Baby
Eddie
Gronk?
Jackson is an impact. But Baby Gronk, you never.
I mean, I'd love it. I'd love it. I'd love it to be so.
It.
Yeah. Help.
It's a nice idea.
I can't. I'm not there yet.
Keep in mind, I was a Cutler supporter, so I may
it's a 12-step program, Dan.
Don't you think Eddie Jackson is an impact player?
Absolutely.
I like Eddie Jackson. Yeah. I mean, they finally got a safety that they can play center field. There's no question about it. They've done some good things.
Yeah.
It's just they've lost, you know, double-digit losses for three straight years. They've overseen the worst four.
If you're scoring at home.
Jeez. Want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing. And most of all, we really appreciate you listening. It means a lot to us. Thank you.
Stick around. Midday show's up next. We're back tomorrow morning, live at 5. Please join us.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.